upon this earth was the Messiah. So naturally, he would never mention keeping the law in Acts 2, 3, and so forth. But he never told them not to. He never told them the law had been taken out of the way. And so when he says there were thousands of Jews which believed, I believe what they believed was the resurrection. They believed that Christ was the Messiah. Now notice verse 21. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, that is a true statement. They accuse Paul of that, and what's interesting is Paul never says, "Oh, no, I didn't." He never says that one time. He is silent. It says, they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. He did, in the sense of, we're not under the law. There's no flesh justified by keeping the law. Saying that you ought not to circumcise your children. Well, remember what Paul said to the Galatians? He said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Paul doesn't have any argument with them there. What they're doing is they're saying, Paul, there's some Jews down here that are upset with you because of what you're teaching the Gentiles. And Paul never responds to it. Look in verse 22. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Still no response from Paul. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Now, we'll go back to Acts chapter 15 in a moment and look at verse 25. But then verse 26, then Paul took the men. Still no response from the Apostle Paul. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, Men of Israel, help, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. So do you see the distinction there between the two groups there at Jerusalem? There was one group there that they were all zealous of the law. There were some others that were concerned that Paul was teaching people to forsake Moses, not to circumcise their children and so forth. That would be those that we just read about in verse 27 and 28. Those were the ones that had rejected the truth that was being preached. And it goes on down there in verse 30 and says, And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Folks, that is not the group that were zealous of the law and believed. That's a different group of Jews there. It has to be because of the fact that those people are the one. In other words, Paul has done exactly what James encouraged him to do, and we find out why he did it back in over in 1 Corinthians 9. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. I'll tell you what, before we look in 1 Corinthians 9, go back to Acts 15. I think it would be better to look at that first. In Acts 15... Remember in Acts 21:25, as touching the Gentiles which believe, James said, We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, from strangling, and from fornication. Back in Acts chapter 15, in verse 13, And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I'll set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, now notice, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Again, they are not, those things are not requirements for salvation. He's talking about people that have already believed. And he said, those that have already believed, we desire that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, from blood. Verse 21, here's the reason, and then many times people miss this. For Moses of old time hath in every city them which preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Moses of old time, that's how I know that they were still keeping the law. There were thousands of Jews which believed they were zealous of the law. He said, Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Verse 22, then pleaseth the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, Persepolis, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. You see again a division there of the Jews? There's two groups. There's one group that is saying, you Gentiles, you need to be circumcised. Like in Galatia. They came behind Paul. They said, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. James is addressing two groups of Jews. He said, there's one group of Jews over here. We believe, we teach the law, and what we want you to do is to abstain from things, in effect, what he's saying, I want you to abstain from things that would be offensive to the Jews. He said, there's another group of Jews that are subverting your souls, saying, verse 24, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. And folks, I believe in that particular instance, the fornication would have to do with religious fornication, in light of the other things that are mentioned there. Meats offered to idols, blood, things strangled, and from fornication, for which you, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. Now, go back to, where was it I told you to go a minute ago? 1 Corinthians 9, thank you. 1 Corinthians 9. That's all right, go ahead. Yeah, we're on.
It's all right. Subverting your soul?
It would have to do with things that would subvert has to do with that which is underhand. It have to do with things that are deceptive, being deceived. We'll look at that in a minute. Yeah, exactly. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. This, I think, if this doesn't answer what Paul did in Acts chapter 21, I don't know what would. To me, it's extremely clear what he says here. He says in First Corinthians 9:19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Now notice, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Now, isn't that what he did in Acts chapter 21? He never acknowledged that what they were saying was wrong, that you're teaching the Gentiles, forsake Moses and so forth. He simply went about doing what they asked him to do so that he could have a ministry among the Jews. Why was that important? The Jews there that threw him out on his ear were the Jews that had rejected the message of Peter, no doubt, and had blasphemed. There was no hope of salvation for them under the kingdom program. Now think about this. I think people miss this all the time, and it's what causes so much confusion about the book of Acts. When Jews... Did Paul not say that he was a blasphemer? He did, didn't he? He was a blasphemer and injurious. He said, "But I obtained mercy." He said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. According to the Matthew chapter 12, and we read that verse this morning, Jesus Christ said, "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven thee, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven thee, neither in this world nor the world to come." Now, we're talking about a period during the book of Acts that runs about 30 years. And during that time period, there are those Jews that are preached to. You think about this. There's recorded that there was 5,000 saved on one day, 3,000 on another day. That's 8,000 people. Historians say that in Jerusalem, at the time of Christ, there was probably 1 million people there. 8,000 is a lot of people, folks, but when you compare it to 1 million in the nation, and that's just Jerusalem. Remember, there were devout men of every nation whenever Peter stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost. What I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of people, and they didn't receive, as a nation, that which Peter preached, and that was the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They blasphemed the Son. They blasphemed against God in the Old Testament. They blasphemed the Son in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts as the men spake by the Holy Ghost. And when they blasphemed, it would not be forgiven them. The Apostle Paul, let's go and read this first. Verse 20. "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." You see, how did Paul become a Jew? Well, he did, after being saved, he did the practices of the Jewish people as they asked him to there, because he wanted to have a ministry. He said, "My ministry is to go down there and testify the gospel of the grace of God." Why? Because there were people at Jerusalem that could no longer be saved under that kingdom program. Look back in Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, listen, folks, I do not believe for one moment that there's one verse of Scripture anywhere that would indicate that Paul ever tried to get people that were already part of the little flock into the body of Christ. You see, when people don't make this distinction between that, the idea is that Paul's over there trying to get all of Peter's converts to be part of the body of Christ. They didn't need to be part of the body of Christ. They had an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. They believed what Peter believed. And they became part of that little flock. But bless your heart, there were those that rejected the message of Peter. They sure needed to know that there was hope for them, because under Peter's message, there was not any hope because they had blasphemed. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is probably the last book that Paul wrote during the book of Acts. And Paul has great concern about his brethren. Notice in chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Look over in chapter 11. I say then, hath God, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. So the Apostle Paul had great heaviness, great sorrow, and great desire to see his kinsmen saved. Having said that, when you get over to Romans chapter 11, verse 26, he writes, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Now that's kind of confusing. I mean, why would Paul say he could wish himself accursed for Christ, for his kinsmen's sake, and then say they're all going to be saved? Well, he didn't say they were all going to be saved. He said all Israel should be saved as it is written. What is written? The deliverer is going to roar out of Zion and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Those Jews that rejected the message of Peter, James, and John, the 12, they will not have a second chance of salvation. They had their second chance by the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he went about. And that's why Paul, throughout the book of Acts, always went to the Jew first and then to the Greek, to the Gentile, and so forth. His ministry was not just to the Gentile. He was the apostle of the Gentiles. But you remember what Christ told him? Look back there in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9. The Lord is instructing Ananias down in verse 13. In verse 15 he says unto him, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear thy name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see, the children of Israel there would have to do with those that did not become part of this little flock. They rejected the message of Peter, and the only hope for them was the preaching of the Apostle Paul. So when they got saved, they were saved under Paul's ministry and made part of the church, the body of Christ. Now, I went through that. Yes, go ahead.
Do you believe that when Paul was originally converted, that he preached the same gospel as Peter? When, you know, he converted the Philippian jailer, and they baptized him. And they said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and all your household will be saved. And then, was he revealed in subsequent revelations the message of grace and the mystery later?
Now, the question is, in case you couldn't hear it, was, did Paul preach the same thing Peter did early in Acts? I don't think so. There's some people that do. I believe Paul preached one gospel throughout his ministry. And I believe that I think the difference is who he went to. For example, when he said unto the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that distinguished. He baptized him. We understand that. And that kind of fits in with what we said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He became all things to all men. He did Jewish things so that he would not be offensive to the Jews. But where he says there, and thy house, I believe what he's saying there is, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Your house, if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, I think he's revealing the kind of salvation that would be to every member of his household. I don't think he's preaching that just because that man got saved, all of his household would be saved. I think what he's saying is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household, if they believe the same message, they'll be saved. I can't find any evidence that Paul ever preached. Now, let me clarify this. They did preach the same message to the extent that they were both preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. That was the foundational truth. When Paul went into the synagogue, the first thing he preached is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, proven to be so by His death, burial, and resurrection. Look in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, Paul is there at Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. He made that statement four different times in the book of Acts. But when we read, now, you see, if you would just read that right there, you could say, okay, he just preached the same thing Peter and James did, or Peter did, the 12 did. Because all it says is he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. But he's at Corinth. What did he write to the Corinthian church when he wrote back to them? He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So we know that Paul, even though you could never find that in Acts 18, we know Paul preached that while he was there, because of what he wrote in 1 Corinthians, which is really the whole point in the message that I'm trying to do here tonight, folks. You can't determine what Paul preached by reading the book of Acts. You've got to determine what Paul preached by reading Romans through Philemon. Because these are just acts that were recorded by Luke. And they're not conclusive of everything that went on. In other words, Luke doesn't say a word here about Paul preaching that Christ died for their sins. All he said was he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Well, if they didn't accept that, there was no need to go any further. They would have to first believe that he was the Messiah for his death, burial, and resurrection, dying for their sins to mean anything at all. So when they rejected that message, that foundational truth, Paul left them, and he went on, and he continued there. And matter of fact, it says in verse 7, he departed thence, entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians heard, believed, and were baptized. And that's probably what Paul's referencing when he says, I baptize none of you except Crispus and Gaius and so forth, and then said, Christ sent me not to baptize, in writing to the church at Corinth. As I said, there are those that believe that Paul in his early ministry preached the same thing Peter did, and then there was a continuing revelation. I just don't find, the only thing I see that he preached was the same was the death, burial, and resurrection. And I think the reason he did that was because of what I just covered. Go, if you will, over to Acts chapter 26. And we won't have time to cover this in detail, but this is another passage that causes some people concern along the same question there that Vince just asked. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is, look up in verse 6. He says, and now, Acts 26, 6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Who was accusing the Apostle Paul? The Jews. The Jews. No, go down to verse 19. He gives an account of his salvation, and we're going to have to hurry here. He says, verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, Jews, he's talking about there, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, people will take that right there and say, see, Paul didn't preach the gospel of the grace of God until the end of Acts, because he said, saying none of the things in which the prophets and Moses did say. Well, remember what he said? Christ died for our sins, what? According to the Scriptures. The mystery, folks, was not that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Was buried and rose again the third day. The mystery was that Jesus Christ died for all men so that they could be justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. The mystery information is that there is a body, there is salvation under the Apostle Paul that was not available to these Jews that had rejected the Messiah, rejected the message of Peter. And the mystery is, listen, God saved me, Paul says. If he could save me, then he can save any of you. You say, well, what is he talking about? Repent and do works meet for repentance. Well, a good illustration of that is back in Acts 17. Acts 17. I've had a kind of an ongoing discussion on Facebook with some people, and it's been fairly civil, but it's been about repentance. And somebody asked me, they said, do you believe in repentance for salvation? I said, I believe in repentance for salvation if you identify repentance based on the Bible rather than what people think it is. You see, people think that repentance is turning from your sin. That's what they teach about it. Well, if repentance is turning from the sin, then God sinned, because the Bible said God repented. When the word repentance is used, it simply has to do with a change of mind. In Acts chapter 17, Paul has encountered some idol-worshipping Gentiles there. He says in verse 23, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before upon and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead... Now notice, we ought not to what? Think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, our stone graven by arts and man's devices. Did the people there at Athens, where he was preaching to, did they believe that God was, that the Godhead was like unto gold and silver? Yes, they did. They had their idols there. They had worshipped them. He said, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And he says in verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What is repentance? Change your thinking. You ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver. Now, what would be the fruit meet for repentance? For them to quit, turn away from their idol worship. But that's not what saved them, folks. The saving them is acknowledging the truth that Paul was preaching. And I'm just using that as an illustration. See, people get all hung up on that thing over there when he said he preached repentance toward God. Well, remember who's Paul's preaching to. He's preaching to a bunch of Jews that have rejected the message Peter preached. He's preaching to a bunch of Gentiles, idol worshippers. He's preaching to Gentiles who are adulterers, fornicators, and everything else. I'd say there needs to be a change of mind. And by the way, I don't know anybody ever got saved without a change of mind. I know I had a change of mind. I changed my mind from believing that it was something I could do to be saved to believing it was all based on what he did. The repentance is not salvation. The repentance leads unto salvation. And that's what he's talking about in Acts chapter 26. So there's numerous things, and our time's gone for tonight, but there's numerous things in the book of Acts that are somewhat confusing. But you have to look at those things. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, consider what I say. He never said, consider what I did. As a matter of fact, I can go through the book of Acts and show you about seven or eight things that Paul did that he later instructed people not to do. You know why? I became all things to all men, he said. Unto the Jew, I became as a Jew. You can't do that today. There's no need for you to do that today. You don't need to become as other people. You need to preach the truth of the gospel to them. The book of Acts is a period of time when they're transitioning from law, from kingdom, to grace. And there are many things in the book of Acts that end up confusing. I hope that what we've covered here tonight is somewhat helpful about the things that we looked at in Acts 21, Acts 15, and Acts 26. And if you've got questions, further questions, I'll be glad to spend more time on this at another time. Are there any questions here in the fellowship hall?